It's the Pocket Show. Welcome to the Pocket Show on the British Tech Network. Apologies for any of you who tried to watch live tonight. I know there was a few of you watching live and we've had to kill it. We had some technical issues, but then it wouldn't be the British Tech Network if we didn't have technical issues. It would be some kind of crazy other world that everything goes well and sounds even relatively rehearsed and practiced. We're also weekly, so I'm going to apologise for that as well. We had all sorts of issues with the other show that we do. It's just a whole pile of apologies at the front of the show. All apologies over. I have brought you a great panel tonight, and we are going to have some great fun chatting about Windows, Android, and iOS. I'm going to start at this side of the pond and welcome in Mr. James Hart. How are you this evening, Mr. James Hart?
Good evening, Paul. Yes, very good. Seasonally brilliant. It's been a wonderful September so far. Yes. And it's great. I can't stay in the house. But apart from the evenings when it gets nice and cold, which is why it's nice and cozy to be in the studio talking to you at nearly 9 o'clock at night.
Yes. It's supposed to start at 8. We're on the 9. It's all good.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing great.
We never ask the presenter, do we? You come and ask us, and we just go, well, don't care about you, mate.
No, I'm doing good. September's an exceptionally busy month for me, but it's all of my kids' birthdays and my niece all happen within 3 weeks of each other in September. So it's a pretty crazy month, and I've decided just to make it a little bit more exciting by going down to London 2 days this week and coming back in between those 2 days. So I'm in London up and down on Friday. My middle daughter's birthday on the Saturday, and then London up and down on the Sunday. So
you're going to need a weekend after that.
I'm definitely going to need a weekend. back to work again. But it's all good. It's all good talking to you lovely people. And that unmistakable giggle came from Kelly Gamont. How are you this evening, Kelly?
Well, how are you?
I am, as I say, tired, but all good. All the better for speaking to you people. Are you all ready with your iOS 8 and iPhone 6? Information hat on?
I am indeed.
Good. We'll get to that in a second. And finally, we've got Mr. Chris Ashley of the SMR podcast. How are you this evening, sir?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it every time I get the call.
That's good. Yes.
I'm like, they still like me. It's good.
No, that's good. We're going to have to get you back on the Gamer Show soon as well. We couldn't quite...
So bummed out. I missed the last one because I honestly haven't slept well, and when did Destiny come out?
It was probably about 3 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, do the math. My wife was like, I'll see you in a month.
Because she's playing or because you're playing it?
Because I'm playing, and she, yeah, my wife's awesome. She the day it came out, and I just sent her a text message. I said, baby, I need you to go to the store for me. I said, I need a bag of almonds, I need 2 Red Bulls, and I need a iced coffee from McDonald's. And I said, just stick all 3 in the freezer, leave the almonds sitting out. I'm going to take a nap because I want to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning so I can start playing Destiny. And she sends me a message back. What time do you want me to go? Now that's love. That's what I'm talking about, folks. That's what I'm talking about.
What time?
That's my baby girl right there. And I ain't
We've got one telly in our house and I can only play Xbox when my wife's not watching telly. What am I doing?
Oh, no.
Honey.
I knew you were, you know, Luton's kind of fairly backwards, but geez, it's not like 1940 or anything.
It takes half an hour for the damn thing to warm up as well.
I can't watch Biggest Loser. I can't watch Grey's Anatomy. I can't watch 99% of the shows. My wife, I go upstairs and, you know, Gary go to bed and she's in there. He lost 40 pounds. I'm like, baby, I mean, what are you doing? It was just so inspirational. I'm like, my goodness, woman. Biggest Loser. Not the color purple. Jeez.
It's like my wife loves DIYSOS as well. That one where they go around and rebuild houses. I mean, they do a fantastic job, but there is always tears.
Yeah, but I just can't. I can't. You know, I like it for the ideas, but I can't. I just me. I just can't get into people's feelings like that.
I'm immune to that television. I don't know why.
I don't watch any of that kind of stuff.
That's just one of those like spots where I'm just really bad at being a girl sometimes, and that's one of them. Yeah. Like for my birthday a couple of years ago, 2 huge movies came out the same weekend. One was Twilight. One was Skyfall. Skyfall is the one I wanted to go see.
Good for you.
You're taking me to James Bond is what we're doing here. I'm telling you now, we're going to go see a James Bond movie. Well, you know, other movies came out that don't care. Skyfall. That's what life is like at my house. Because yeah. I'm also the one that said, you know, if we're going to get a bigger TV, get a bigger TV.
How big is bigger?
The one we have now is 65.
Do it up. Do it up.
Good heavens.
See, that's, I have a big telly, I think.
USA!
Yeah, I think it's an American thing. I have a big telly for British standards. I mean, most people come into my house and are like, whoa, that's a huge telly. And
what
it
is
really
it?
Is 55.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big, because I have a 55.
That is a TV of an acceptable size. That was our former big-ass TV. It is now the medium-ass TV because we got the 65-inch that lives downstairs.
I went from 50 to 55, but I would have went 65, but I don't have enough distance between my seating area, which is pushing 14 foot. Yeah.
When we moved, we got an entire basement that has a bar, and it had this one wall that just needed something. And so we were trying to figure out, you know, yeah, again, USA. So we were looking at the wall, and then, of course, it was, well, if we get a bigger TV than the current big-ass TV, which is now, today, the medium-ass TV, then what kind of furniture do we put underneath it? And I said, you know, well, what I would do is I would hang the TV on the wall, and then I would run all the cables into the closet right behind the wall so you don't have to look at all the gear. Everything is an Very app. Nice. It's not like you need to be line of sight anymore. Right. And my husband went, oh, and he gave me this look that was like, gosh, I love you. I knew there was a reason.
Marry all over again.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we did. So now one of the corners of the closet in the office, which is where I'm recording right now, which is right on the other side of that wall, which also means I work next to the bar, is where all the TiVo, the DVD player, the 3D DVD player, the power conditioner, the amp, it all lives in the closet.
Very Bringing nice. It all back to the pocket show. When I want to watch something on telly, I watch it on my 6-inch phone. You guys are your 65-inch television. My screen is, all right, so maybe it's only a few inches away from my head. It's only 6 inches in size.
Yeah, put that 14 feet
away. I can bring it back
away
to the pocket show by, for a while, I was running everything with an app on my former iPhone. My iPhone 4 was the remote control for everything.
Oh, that is.
I tell you, since Microsoft put all the TV controls in the Xbox, I have my $250 Harmony remote that just sits there and, you know, starts singing "I'm Ronery." So.
See, we can't do that in the UK because Sky TV don't let you have any of that kind of stuff.
Kim Jong unused.
You can't do you can't control your Skybox with the TV remote. You can't even control Sky through your Xbox One. You need the controller.
You can't use a universal remote?
I believe you could use a universal remote, but...
We've even got a TiVo. We have actually got a TiVo, I think.
I adore my TiVo.
But you can't even remote control. It's a version of the TiVo that you can't interactively remote control. People have written web front ends to the remote control, so it sort of sends the right HTTP things, but nobody's written a TiVo remote control for it, which is really frustrating.
Wow.
And of course, if one of the kids loses the actual television remote, my wife is still all at sea when she wants to control it. I say, you can do it on your laptop. I'm not using my laptop to control the television.
My goodness.
We will find the remote control.
Everything stops. Find that remote.
And of course, it'll be down the side. There's a sofa like it always
now
is.
Now I'm fascinated by the whole TV. Now I'm like, wow, you can't even, I'm still back at like, you can't run other crap with if you have Sky TV. That's just so weird.
You could run other things. I mean, you can have other things going into different HDMI ports, but you can't use an app with Sky TV is the issue. I had to move my Xbox One out of the living room, so I'm no longer getting my Xbox One on the main telly for a related issue. But because Sky doesn't need the Xbox One, too many times did my wife try and watch the telly and the Xbox was doing an update and she just had to patiently sit there and wait for the update to finish.
So
the Xbox One wasn't bringing any extra features, and all it was doing was getting in our way. Wow. So it was banned from the living room.
It should update on its own. That's what mine
does. Know.
I think it possibly. So this was before I moved to reasonably decent broadband.
Right.
That'll
so
do
you'd
it.
Have a you'd have an Xbox One update day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But there's no way to stop it. There's no way to go. Actually, do you know what? Could you just leave it a second because I want to go and watch telly? No.
Because you get a message at the bottom update, saying, "Do not switch off your Xbox." Yeah, exactly. No.
Oh well,
that's horrible. Welcome to the media recently, show, ladies and gentlemen.
I just recently switched to TiVo, so I'm now part of the TiVo family, and I'm just about to kick DirecTV out the house.
Puffy heart, my TiVo. I love it so much.
I've been with DirecTV since they came out because I couldn't stand the cable company so much. But if you want to hear a good story about my trials and tribulations, I told probably a good 20-minute story last week on our show about my switching, just in sort of this test phase of using TiVo, how much of a hassle it was. And not no fault to TiVo.
I love my TiVo so much. When I got it, you could still do the lifetime membership instead of having to pay monthly subscription. So I bought lifetime, but and it records two shows at once, and it's an old one because I got it in like 2008. Yeah, but right. I love it so much. It started hanging randomly, and so I had a panic attack, and I bought it a new hard drive, and I dropped a new hard drive in it, and that didn't help. And so then I had to swap out the power supply too, and it was fun, but that's how much I love my TiVo.
Goodness, that's some dedication to the cause. Can you control it using your phone? You can. Obviously.
Oh, totally. So, there's an app called Peanut Remote that you can get, and there's a free version, and there's a version that gets rid of the banner at the bottom, and it works.
Have you tried the TiVo app on iOS and Android? Because is that just for watching?
The app from TiVo on my phone worked to schedule things, but it didn't do as good a job of controlling TiVo as what Peanut Remote does.
You got the older TiVo box, right? Okay. Yeah. I got the new one. It has six tuners and,
You have six. I have two.
Yeah. You're supposed to be able to do stuff. So
yeah.
Not
and with
my
the
pick,
app, you can if you have a newer TiVo. So yeah, you're going to have an awesome time with the official app. I can't do so much.
Yeah. They're not showing love to Windows Phone as usual. So, we will push through.
Yes. So right now, what we're going to do is we're going to switch from the media show to the pocket show. And we're going to chat about something.
We already did. We're talking about TiVo apps on the phone.
Yeah. That's all good. and stuff. But I can't contribute. TiVo, I don't think, really made that much of a big hit in the UK. And
which is sad, really, because the interface is so much better than any DVR from a cable company that I've ever spent time with.
Yeah. Well, we've got Virgin Media, and they're the ones who supply TiVo. Via them, so it's
of course
not,
you get TiVo with Virgin Media, don't you? Not meaning to perpetuate the conversation much further, but I think going back to the previous point about Sky, I think it's the kind of the Sky being so, it's practically in every home. If Sky's not in the home, Virgin Media's in the home, and if neither of them are in the home, you probably don't have anything, or you maybe have like Freeview or something like that. But but
you live in a cabin and mail suspicious packages to people.
Exactly. I probably really insulted a number of people now, and I'm going to get emails going BT Vision or something like that. But,
Paul looks forward to your letter.
Anyway, I'm trying to think of a wild segue to get us into the Android story, but
just go.
For countries that don't have their own cable service.
Yes, such as India, Android One. So this is the second phase of Android One. It's coming in December. Now, this is in India. These phones aren't available in the UK or in the US or basically anywhere in the Western world, as far as I can tell. What I was interested in was, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to have a look through at some of these phones, but they're coming in at about 7,000 RAN, which is approximately 70 quid, which I think will be just over the $100 mark. Roughly.
Right about.
Yeah. And these don't look like bad phones for that cost. And they're contract free. They're unlocked and everything like that. What I'm finding crazy about this is why all these manufacturers, I mean, Windows is doing it as well. This is Android coming into that market as well. As in the Android One, as in Google's coming into that market. Motorola is already there with other Android phones, selling these decent enough handsets for 70 quid. Or 60 quid or something like that. Why are they not doing it in the UK and the US? It just baffles me.
Well, I fully expect them to do that in the US and the UK. It's, you know, they're probably just trying to figure out how well it's going to work. Because
really,
I think so. Why not? Apple, I don't think they're going to do it.
I would say they already are doing it in the UK. You can get a sub 75 quid phone. My kids, for example, have got the Samsung Galaxy Y. However, it is a small, slow phone lacking in memory. I mean, the phones they're selling over there are 4.5-inch screens. That's very impressive. Mm-hmm. The kids, they're not much bigger than 3-inch screens on the kids' phones. And the fact is, so the market is, because I guess there is such a panoply of even last generation big phones, which, you know, the market is pretty much flooded with them. And I guess if the parents buy a decent phone and then they upgrade, they're more likely to give the kids one they had before rather than sort of buy a more expensive, cheaper phone for them, if that makes sense. I think
the biggest attraction for these phones are coming from people who don't have smartphones, and they're coming and just switching over to get their first smartphone. I was just in the AT&T store I got invited to hang out during the launch. And I was talking to one of the reps, and he saw that I had the 1520. He was like, man, I love Windows Phone. He's the first AT&T rep that I've ever heard say that. And he was like, I carry one. And he goes, I tell everyone, for $99, you can't go wrong with the 635. We had Allison Sheridan from the Nocilla cast just tried one out, and she enjoyed using it too. So it only makes sense for Android to start dabbling and getting into this market, because clearly it's been successful for Windows Phone, because it's helped them stay relevant and grow a bit in the last month.
And what Android needs to do is they need to deliver reasonable spec low price phones rather than crap low price phones, which is what they're doing at the moment. You can buy quite a few phones for less than 75 quid which are Android on, and they're rubbish.
Yeah, but that's the UK, so they need to start. That's what I'm saying, though. I didn't appreciate that they already were doing it in the UK, but these phones are not rubbish phones. I mean, they're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but they are absolutely fine for your tech Luddite who just wants something that they make phone calls
on. The Honda Civic of a phone. You know, like, solid, serviceable, gets you where you need to go. You know, it's not, it's not an Acura, it's not, you know, it's not a Tesla, but, you know, totally serviceable, totally solid for somebody who cares more about getting. I liken everything to cars because it seems to be something a lot of people get. You guys have Civics in the UK, right? The Honda Civic.
Yeah.
So the Honda Civic will get you where you need to go. If what you need to do is get in your car and every time you turn the key, it turns on, and then you get where you're going at the end, that's what matters to a lot of people.
Yep.
And I feel like this phone is that for phone people. Like, I don't care about all the fancy stuff an iPhone can do. I don't care about all the fancy stuff that this giant Windows phone can do. I don't need 42 megapixels of anything. I'm not even sure what a megapixel is. I just want a phone where I can make a call, and every time I call, the other end rings, and when I need to send an email, I can send an email. Like, for a lot of people, this is going to be a great phone.
Yeah, the only thing I'd be cautioned about this, and I'd be interested to see if it makes a difference or not, is I clearly, in my opinion, find the Windows Phone user interface easier for new smartphone users to pick up because the tiles are so large. And with all the different things you can do and how, and then they're going to structure any Android phone to look a certain way. But I'm just wondering if there's any hindrance into using those phones that would maybe hinder folks from become popular, even though the price is in the same range. Because there's one thing that anytime I use an Android device, the one thing I always find is in comparison to iOS and Windows Phone, the polish is not there, and some things just don't function as you would expect it to. So that's the only thing I'd be wondering about is for novices, how well they pick it up.
See, I would have agreed with you 100%, Chris, until about, I don't know, it was about 3 months ago. And I can't remember, I mentioned this in the show previously, I can't remember if you guys were on it, but my in-laws both had Windows phones, and they'd had them for a couple of years, and they went for an upgrade, and I fully expected them. And I was telling them all about what you and Alan Hauschel, who's often the Windows panelist in the show, had been telling me about Windows 8.1 and how awesome it was and stuff like that. And I was going, you have to go get Windows 8.1. And they said to me, we just don't understand the interface. And they went and both got themselves some Galaxy S3s. And they love them. And I would have totally been on your side. And I know that's only two people out of a population of almost 7 billion. But I was interested when they said that to me.
Well, you know, you have to get into questioning their intelligence at this point. Don't tell them that. Tell them I was joking. To me, when I look at what I've talked about this before. My entire family, my mother-in-law, my mom, and they use Windows phones and they love them. And they were coming from dumb phones. And I was just like, here's a phone. Here's what this does. Here's what it shows you on the screen. And they picked it up. Now, is it for everybody? No. That's an interesting thought, which I would expect to hear sometimes anyway. Mm-hmm. But for me, just taking a step back and just looking, anytime I go through the iOS UI, as much as I'm not a fan of Apple, their UI is always very polished and things function, kind of to make sense. I always run into stuff when I start playing around with Android and start using it. And I'm like, I just hit the back button and that's not what I expected. Or, I expect the context. When I search for a contact, I expect certain things to come up and it don't come up. It's like, why am I saying it's not looking at 85 different contacts? Why do I have to change? It's just this little things. But those are the polish that could make or break the experience with new smartphone users.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, in terms of the smartphone use, I was just going to ask you a question, Paul. The people who you were suggesting the phones to, were they contract or were they pay-as-you-go?
That's a good question. I believe they're both contract. Yeah, they are.
See, their decision is based on, in a lot of respects, what they can get. What they can get their phone company or their supplier to say, here's your next contract, what do you want? And I guess the decision is made by people I was just looking in India, for example, up to over 90% of people are on prepay, so pay as you go. Mm-hmm. And their decision is based not on what their phone company is offering, is what they see in the shops and word of mouth and recommendations. So I'm wondering whether price means more to them. Because, as you say, you could have had a Windows phone, you could have had a... What did they say? They got Galaxy S...
Actually, it was an S3, sorry. I think I said S4, but it was an S3 now that I think...
That's a fairly good phone. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a couple of generations back now, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. So I wonder why... The other thing is, I'm wondering whether the phones that Android One delivers now are as good as phones from, example, 18 months ago. That we were used to. I just don't know what the specifications of it actually means.
There's certainly more of them.
Yeah, I would imagine that they've got some. They're not stock Android, as far as I could tell. They're as close to stock Android as I think you're going to get. I seem to remember reading somewhere. I can't now find that line that I was looking for. But they could have actually kind of toned a few things down and taken some stuff out that was maybe going to take out the main slowdown on the device.
And is it more down to the fact that they can knock them out much, much more quickly? I mean, phones can only be built at a certain speed. And if you're trying to deliver to a massive market, can you sell them that much more quickly if they've got a common platform?
Yeah, it's all good. I mean, it's possible it's one of those things as well. They're just kind of firing them out. And also, they probably don't have that far to travel as well. So there's probably a saving in transport as well. Because, all these... actually built over in that side of the world.
Which does, as again, poses the question, will they ever make it as far as this? Because you do have that extra... maybe a container doesn't actually cost all that much, but per phone it does add something to the cost of it, and therefore it doesn't make it as cost effective to send them over here.
Yeah, perhaps. It's still a decent phone. And I mean, when you look at the... I've got... looking at the review of the Micromax Canvas A1 Android One phone, and when you look at the photographs that it's taken, I mean, they're not amazing, but they're better than I was expecting. They're certainly better than my first webcam that I got back in like the late 90s or something.
And I was reading that they say that Android will be supported for 2 years after the purchase, which I think is a brilliant thing. It keeps the phone. It means they will keep the phone for that long.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest reason I won't recommend Android to a lot of people is if you're somebody who is not very technically savvy, I need to know, particularly if you're coming to me for advice, you're somebody I know reasonably well. And that means when something goes horribly wrong, you're going to call me. Mm-hmm. So I don't tell people who... I don't tell those people to get Android devices because I can't guarantee they're going to get security updates. Yeah. Nobody promises anybody anything with an Android device. And here, there's not a whole lot of off-contract situations. So once you get that phone, you're chained to it for 2 years. So if an update comes out in a month that keeps people from stealing some sort of really vital data off your phone and Verizon doesn't deem you worthy of getting it on your device, but AT&T does, like, you're out of luck. And I can't do anything about that. And so for me, that's a thing that's really important is at least I know if you get an iPhone or I think Windows Phone has gotten better about this, but initially they weren't. You can get updates for at least the length of your contract. Like beyond 2 years, I can't promise anything, but at least I know for now it is possible for you to have the latest version, regardless of your carrier, whatever. Like I know that my aunt who has an iPhone 5C is going to be solid. She can get iOS 8. iOS 8 will fix some security issues if she's got them, or it will fix the user interface problem that she's having because there's something tweaked in iOS 8 that makes it easier for her than it was in 7, whatever it is. I know she's going to get it and I don't have to know what carrier she's using. And that for me is one of the really important things about Android that is still a failure. I have a Nexus 7 tablet and I like it. What I really wish is that the situation here was different than the situation you guys have, where here everything, almost everything is dictated by your carrier. Mm. So the exact same Galaxy S3, Paul, that you're saying your parents had, if you have it here on Verizon, maybe you get updates. And if you have it here on AT&T, maybe you don't. You don't know. And it sucks.
I think you've got the same problem. It was my in-laws. My parents are very, very Apple. I make sure of that.
My dad bought an Android phone, but I'm adopted.
Yeah, but you know, you make a great point. Security should always be top of mind. As far as security is concerned, updates concerned, Windows Phone has actually been pretty solid. The only problem they had is when people got upset because when they went from 7 to 8, it was a kernel change. Mm. And so a lot of people got upset that they couldn't update those old phones. But it made complete sense when you think about it. The whole thing is different. But yeah, but there's still, like, if there's a security update, there's no doubt in my mind that Microsoft will make sure that all the phones have it. Look how long they've supported IE6 and, you know, all XP and all that. But Android, it just seems that it's such a, you know, there's a good side to being such an open platform because, you know, these carriers got jumped on it and they did whatever they wanted to do. But there's a bad side. There's where they can do whatever they want to do and kind of force you into, you know, having to buy another device. So there's definitely should be a conversation. But overall, I think the majority of issues when it comes to security on an Android phone comes from mal apps. And, you know, I don't have a problem recommending an Android phone to a person that's in that realm. When I talk to a person and they call me in and say, hey, I need to know what phone to get, I really just ask them, what do you do with yourself? What do you do with the phone today? I have no problem telling them you should be on an iPhone. You could check out Windows Phone. You could check out Android. It to me, it's just, you know, I don't know. I take it as a point of pride almost that, as much as I love Windows Phone, that, you know, just the other day I recommended a guy to stick with Android. And before that, I recommended somebody to go get an iPhone. It's just because it's a kind of a big responsibility when somebody asks you that, because you're basically hooking them into a contract for the next 2 years. So, to me, it's just more based on what their lifestyle is as opposed to the platform at this point. Cause it's not
totally
a ton of security issues coming on Android, but the update and a lot of these folks really, you know, the update, you know, most of your friends that I talk, most of my friends, not your friends, but, you know, you look at the phones like, man, you haven't updated this thing in 2 years anyway. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's not like the, you know, and I'm definitely not calling anybody. It's like, oh, go update your phone. You know, you got my help when I said, go get it. That's it. We're done.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the only time that I ever actually do that is for iOS updates. I actually care about people getting the new version of iOS. So at the moment, I'm on a campaign for to try and stop my mum updating to iOS 8 because of a number of bugs. Whereas I'm pushing my dad to update it because my dad's quite technical and I think he would quite enjoy some of the features. So I still got that campaign to try and push folks through.
Yeah, but that's just because you love Apple.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. And I do not apologize for that. Awesome. Speaking of loving operating systems, Windows Phone 9 is supposedly, or rather Nokia Power User sources are suggesting, that the developer preview of the OS update could hit devices as early as January 2015. So again, this is assuming that it's going to be similar to 8.1 in that you have to register as a developer, which is of course free, and then you can update the software should you want to. There's no official word as of yet. The only news I can have, I spent quite a bit of time this afternoon trying to find all the different features that might be coming to this, and I can only find two. So I'm interested, Chris, if you know of other ones, but supposedly we're going to be getting side-by-side multitasking that apparently is going to be available only on devices with a screen bigger than 4.9 inches, although it's just speculate at the moment. And the other thing is actionably, I don't even know if that's a word. I've written it down though, so I'll say it again. Actionably notifications, which basically means in the notification center you can reply to text messages, emails, and things like that. And the only other thing that we know, or we suspect we know, is that it's going to unify Windows RT and Windows Phone.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That I'm looking forward to is just seeing if they pull that off, because I like Windows RT. My wife uses an RT device. And for folks that don't know, Windows RT is essentially Microsoft's tablet operating system, as opposed to a regular Windows computer that can do anything. So it's kind of more of their view of the iPad as opposed to another actual computer.
Or a device that just retweets everything that you type into it.
There you go. So, you know, there's some great things about the user interface and the abilities that full Windows has and Windows RT has that Windows Phone doesn't have. And there's some nice things about Windows Phone. So it'd be nice to kind of see these two operating systems merge, because what I would hope comes out of that are the applications becoming more universal. Right now, Microsoft took a step that way, that where you can buy an app once and you can use, if the app exists on the Windows Store, you can use it there. Apple kind of nailed it when they came out and they said all the apps that exist today will work on the iPad. I thought that was a brilliant move, and it really bums me out that Microsoft didn't do the same thing. But hopefully that's what we see in Windows 9. The side-by-side stuff is interesting. I definitely would love to check that out. I don't know if you saw the new Samsung commercial where they, man, they have just been tearing an Apple. It's kind of funny. But they did show off that feature. When I looked at it, I was like, yeah, it's kind of nifty.
Nice. Yeah.
And, I carry a giant phone, so it definitely, would not be an issue for me. There hasn't been a ton of the features, released other than the ones that you mentioned, but, I'm interested in it nonetheless, because, I just want to see this thing continue to merge and become one, and maybe get to the point where I just hook my phone up to my monitor and it's everything.
I was going to say very quickly, between now and then, of course, Windows 9 may well be released, which will bring with it its own kind of attempts to merge the technologies too.
Because there's rumors about a notification system coming to Windows 9, and that preview is supposed to be out, you know, this month or at the end of this month. So. Once I switch, that's it. I don't ever switch back. Even if it's that early alpha build of when Windows 8 came out, when Windows 7 came out, once I switch, that's it. I'll suffer through drivers and whatever issues and just stay on it. I hate going backwards.
Yeah, I normally feel like that, but I installed the iOS 7 straight away, the first release that it did after the WWDC keynote last year, and I suffered terribly. So I went back to iOS 6 until it was ready to go. But I normally agree with that ethos as well.
It is an interesting ethos, very quickly, just to hang on about the software updates, because of course we're going to be moving on to iOS 8 very shortly. Yeah. Absolutely. I've just had 8.1. I've had 8.1 for a little while, but I think the 8.1 is now fully released and is being rolled out. And I haven't heard any complaints about it being not cooked enough. Now, whether or not they managed to get the developer preview out far enough to be worthwhile for everybody, you know, for everybody to have picked the bug up, or it just was fairly well delivered. But yeah, I've heard fairly good things about April.
You know, and the reason for that is, you know, if I was a lesser man at this stage, I would fire right back at Chris and say that's because nobody's using Windows Phone, so there's nobody there to complain about.
I give you.
But I'm not a lesser man, so I'm not going to say that. I'm going to let Chris answer that.
I was, funnily enough, at a scout meeting last Monday, and of the seven of us in the room, five of us had Windows phones, and I thought, that's unprecedented.
Wow, that is where is that? Really... because you were in the opposite of Portland.
Yeah, well, it's Luton, so yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's definitely not as prevalent as the two bigs. However, I do, anytime I see somebody with a Windows phone, I give them the head nod. I'm like, yeah, you rocking it.
I cannot wait till we start talking about the two bigs. When we move on to the iPhone 6 Plus.
Let's talk about some big phones.
Yeah, I just want to, just that nod thing that you just mentioned there, Chris. You know what really disappoints me about Apple's success over the last 5 years? Is you can't do the head nod anymore to Apple people.
Nope. No,
you used to be able to do that. You used to be able to sit in an airport or something like that, and you would have your MacBook out, and you could do the head nod at somebody over the way, and that person would nod back at you, and it would be you were just connected in some really spiritual way. But that doesn't work anymore.
No, Samsung did a great job eliminating that coolness.
But you know what's fascinating to me about those Samsung ads is that there's very little Samsung in the Samsung ads.
But you know,
they spend
the point.
A whole lot of time talking about Apple.
That's the point. I think it, okay. They're like,
when was the last time you saw a 30-second Coke ad that spent 25 seconds talking about Pepsi?
Because you're talking, Coke is the big dog. You know what I mean? So Pepsi.
Okay, then switch it. When was the last time you saw a 30-second Pepsi ad that spent 25 seconds of it talking about Coca-Cola?
It's completely different though, because Pepsi doesn't have to prove to people that Coke is not cool. But the inroads that Apple has is this coolness factor. And what Samsung is doing is they're chipping away with it. It's a completely different thing. You know, you might not find a competitor, but you hear competitive ads all the time where they mention their competitors, like, oh, you know, you hear with the trucks, oh, Chevy doesn't do this and Toyota doesn't do this, but we can pull a house. You hear that stuff all the time. It's not unheard of to hear somebody
put
it down.
It is in the UK.
But it's not the focus of the ad. It's like, we do this and these guys don't. We do that and these guys don't. And we do the other thing and these guys don't. It doesn't spend the whole ad. Like, I've never seen another ad that spent the whole time making fun of the customers of the other guy.
Man, I've somebody salty. Samsung's got somebody salty.
I'm just confused by it because they spend the whole time talking about the other guy. Like,
you cannot.
That doesn't make sense to me. I'm not an ad person. So maybe there's some sort of like commercial magic that I'm just missing out on. But like, I don't remember seeing ads like that before. I don't remember the last time I saw a Chevy ad that said that everybody who drives a Ford wears socks and sandals and mixes plaids and stripes or whatever. Like, I don't know. I've never.
Hello, I'm a Mac. I'm a PC.
On a different level. When it comes to a car. And I get your analogy, so I'm not taking it away, but I'm saying there's a thing that Apple has is a coolness factor. And if you're going to crack that, you're going to have to start making it look uncool. And that's the exact approach that Samsung made when the first commercials came out where the guy had his new phone, but his mom had the same phone and she was in line. They're trying now to make that uncool. And that, to me, that's just perfect sense because, you know, their slogan, the next big thing is already here. The line is there. You know what I mean? That what they're trying to do. It makes perfect sense.
And James, I understand what they're trying to do. I'm just confused about the execution.
But
that's
I think James made a really valid point there. And while I kind of broadly agree with what you're saying there, Kelly, James said, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, is an example of taking the mic out of the competition, saying that they aren't cool.
That's exactly what Apple did. That is
my question. I guess is
Apple took.
Is it a cheap shot, or is it? Could they market their products in a slightly less, you know, negative way? Is this the most effective way to market their product? And potentially, I guess it is.
It has worked. Yeah. It has worked. I hear people,
especially if it pisses people off.
I hear people all the time when I go to AT&T stores a lot. and just to listen to people and give the salespeople hard times when they don't push Windows Phone. But that's just my fun. but you know, I listen to people all the time. It's like, you know, I'm
just they see you coming in the shop. They go, "Oh, it's him again."
I get that. And I have two stores in my area, and I'm really cool with the manager in one, and really cool with one of the employees the other. So as soon as I walk in the door, it's like, get on your P's and Q's because it's coming. But I hear people all the time. I hear it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm just tired of this iPhone. And, you know, whether it's valid or invalid is not the issue. You know what I mean? But, Apple had a job to do. And they came out with the PC. I'm a PC. I'm a Mac commercial. And they made it seem the Windows seem old and clunky. And they were the new fast car that everybody wants. And look what they did. They created they secured their cult of folks that use Mac devices. You know, like, oh, I can't use Windows. And, you know, my buddy Rod, who does the show with me, always has a great point. People are like, well, I need to use a Mac because the Mac always works. And he's like, well, you can buy 3 Windows computers for the price of the Mac. So if you need a computer that always works, just put 2 in the closet and switch them out as they break down, if they break down that bad. You know what I mean? He's like, your mindset is wrong. But Apple created that mindset for people, you know, and now Samsung is doing that. And, you know, because they had a job, they had to make their phones come out different, even though they were the same on the outside. But they had to do something. And that's what they did. They attacked the coolness, and then they said, "We're the cool kids now." And look at them—they're killing it out there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And what they've also done is they're trying to upset the de facto that people think mobile phone. I mean, there was a time where if you had a smartphone, people would say, "Oh, have you got your iPhone with you?"
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's not the case anymore. However, I know, on the flip side, there are still some people who are going out in their droves to get the new iPhone as soon as the day it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, because they
10 million of them.
I think they've still got it with the iPad, though. You still get that with an iPad. You still get people referring to the tablet as the iPad. I think you're right that the smartphone's different. I mean, we heavily on the pre-show, we're talking about NFL. And there's that whole thing that Microsoft have got the contract to provide surfaces for the NFL. And the NFL presenters regularly refer to them as iPads.
Dummies.
Yeah, but
they're like, iPad-like device. Like, yeah, no, yeah. It's a Surface. I mean, how hard is it to say it's a tablet?
Like Fox. I can't remember. I think it was Fox that I remember seeing it on. They weren't under any contract to push Microsoft Surface. It was the NFL that signed the contract, or maybe some other TV station. I'm not sure. But they saw it as an iPad. It wasn't as if they made a conscious decision to say that is not a Surface, that is an iPad. That was just them saying it's still.
They saw a tablet and said iPad.
Yeah. An iPad. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you know, that's the Kleenex effect, right?
The Hoover effect, everything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's an iPad, but it's from Microsoft. Like, I've heard people describe it that way.
You punch them for me.
Oh, dear. Anyway,
I do gently correct.
So as we've discussed, the iPhone 6 came out this past weekend, and the 6 Plus iOS also came out. It'll be last Thursday, I think it was. Maybe Wednesday, actually. I can't remember off the top of my head now. Wednesday, yeah. So it would have been, I think it was evening Wednesday, our time. And people have went nuts for it. Incredible. 10 million sold in the opening weekend. It opened at 8 a.m. Around the world. I think it was 8 a.m. in every country because it was when the stores opened. And queues around the block everywhere for them. I've seen photographs of the Covent Garden store, and it was just mental. The store in Glasgow, it was queued way back. It was much more than I remember seeing. I went up and queued for the iPad 1 in the Glasgow store because that was and is my closest Apple store, 2 hours away. And the queues are just huge. It's incredible. And they did pre-orders. Just absolutely.
Well, right. There was crazier lines this year than last year. Mm-hmm. And last year for the 5S and the 5C, there was no pre-order option. Pre-orders. You had to get in line and wait.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah. To me, there was no surprise.
One of my colleagues, he actually booked the morning off work so he could go and get his pre-ordered phone because he knew it was going to be chaos in there. He had to get his elbows out, make it to the Genius Bar and claim it. But I mean, in Watford, because we're talking about Watford here, which is one step down from Luton, despite being in Hertfordshire. apparently, if the Apple store is within a closed shopping centre, and the shopping centre didn't open till 8 o'clock in the morning, so people had to queue outside the shopping centre. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when the security guard opened the door, which wasn't at the front of the queue, people got very upset.
Oh, yeah.
Because you just got this huge bunch of people walking past some guys who've been there all night.
Ooh, yeah.
No, that's cool.
They were not happy about it. The security guards didn't care, did they?
Yeah, no, I can see that point. But,
and I'm surprised there weren't, yes, I'm surprised there wasn't probably more of a police presence.
So Kelly, yeah. You've not went for the iPhone 6, have you? You're still in the fight.
I've not. I am.
Is that because
you're
still on contract?
Yes, I'm one of those subsidized people, so I'm stuck to mine for another year. But I'm happy with my 5S, and I'm happy with it on iOS 8. So to me, it's not that big a deal. I'm not... And I don't know why this is, but I'm not a person who's like, new thing, need it. I did get to go touch them. The Best Buy, not far from my house, had the 6 and the 6 Plus available to hold on to. The 6S seems ginormous to me. Everybody says, yeah, you know, I can stick it in my pants pocket and it fits just fine. And what I want to know is what happens if you try to sit down.
So it's not a problem. I've got the 6 Plus.
Okay. And when you sit down.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. Are you wearing cargo pants all the time?
No. I wear jeans pretty much all the time. In fact, yeah. I'm one of these guys who, if I find a pair of trousers that I like, I'll generally buy like 4 or 5 pairs of them. So there's absolutely every chance that the trousers you saw me wearing Macworld in March are the maybe not the exact same pair, but definitely the exact same
make and model.
Yeah, that I'm currently wearing today and was wearing yesterday.
And the corner of it doesn't just stick out a little bit.
No, not at no. all. No.
Because see, I have that problem with my 5 because as a girl, I wear girls' jeans, and so you know, except when it's really warm out, I change it up and wear girls' shorts.
Do you carry a phone in your pocket?
I do. I have to. I don't know why, but I determined that like in 1998 when I got my first cell phone, and it goes in my left pocket all the time. That's where it lives. The end. Yeah. Well, Mr. Kelly says that if I don't have it in my pocket, I'll be out of balance and just walk in a little circle. So I have a problem where my 5 like pocket squares out of the top of my pants pocket. And that's just a 5S. Like, my husband has a 4S. So we were looking at them because he's totally eligible for an upgrade. So he was like considering going with one. And I told him initially, you should get a 6 Plus because I've seen you make kind of the old man face looking at your screen when you get a text message.
Oh, geez.
And I feel like maybe you need a bigger screen. Like that might be something really helpful for you. And then, you know, because he does spend a lot of time on his iPad, I'm like, this could take up a lot of that time because he doesn't have to worry about trying to use it one-handed except to scroll, which you can do on a 6 or a 6 Plus. You know, scrolling with your thumb is a pretty easy thing to do. He doesn't have to worry about reaching all the keyboard because whenever he generally even uses his 4S, he's doing it with both hands. He holds it with one hand and usually types with the other. And he doesn't hold it to his head a lot to take calls or anything. So I'm like, maybe you would like the plus, like all that screen might make you really happy. And you know, you scroll a lot. You're not typing all the time or anything. So for you, maybe that's the way to go. So he looked at it and he's, gosh, that's just too big. So he thinks that the 5.5 inches, the 5.5 inch screen is just too big. And we picked up some of the other phones there at Best Buy and looked at them. And first of all, it's hard to get a good feel for any of them at Best Buy because they strap these ridiculous anti-theft things on the back that are giant and lumpy. And so it makes it really hard to sort of determine like what it actually feels like in your hand. Because I tried, and you have to hold it with the screen to your palm in order to get all the way across like you would otherwise. So we held them, and I will say I still don't think the 6 Plus would be for me, at least that size. But it still wasn't like, I mean, I could hold it in my hand. I couldn't do much with it, but I could hold it in my hand comfortably. So he looked at some of the 5-inch phones and was curious why Apple didn't go with a 5-inch model instead of a little less than 5 and a little more than 5, which is probably an interesting question. I'm curious about that myself. Now that he said that.
Because Samsung did that straight, you know, 2 generations ago, didn't they?
Also, maybe that's it. Is like when people said big screen, like Apple decided not to screw around. So no, that's,
I like it. I have to say, when I opened the box, because I ordered mine blind, I just went on the website on the day that the pre-orders opened and sat there. And because it took about 45 minutes for me to get through the pre-orders, I changed my mind half a dozen times. Backwards, forwards. I finally went with the 6 Plus. And I have to say, when it arrived and I opened the box, I kind of opened it and went, oh, this is too big. I don't think this was a smart move.
Really?
Yeah. But then I kind of thought, well, I'm stuck with it. If I send it back now, I'm going to be a month without a phone or something. So let's just work with it and see what happens. And by the end of Friday, I was in love with it. And
it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I absolutely adore it.
When you went back to like an iPhone 4S, did you think, what a tiny phone?
Yeah, so I was using my daughter's 4S on Sunday night, and my goodness, I couldn't even see how she functions with it.
You wonder, start to wonder. It's like, how did I use such a small device? Because I got the 1520, which is a 6-inch phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my favorite things to do is when I see somebody holding even like a Galaxy Note, I just put my phone on top of it and watch their phone disappear. And I say, get a real phone. And then I just walk away. But I went to go play with the iPhone as well. I told you I was invited.
Yeah, sure.
And I was playing with it and I really liked it. I loved the fact, a couple of things that Apple did that I really, really like. And I hope they come to Windows Phone. One is the fact that they went landscape. So on the 6 Plus, if people didn't know, but that screen can go landscape mode and the icon switch over and you can use it in landscape.
Now, interestingly, you would think that, and my phone did that on Friday, but it stopped doing it and it doesn't do it anymore. And I have no idea why.
Whoa.
I bet you have orientation lock on.
I was going to say,
Nope.
Because, yeah, wow. How frustrating.
Broke it. Broke it. But I love that it did that. Yeah. You know, I don't know why they didn't.
Well, I was going to say, because if they go side by side, they're going to have to go landscape, aren't they? For Windows 9.
Yeah.
Windows Phone 9.
Well, not necessarily.
I suppose you can get out top and bottom.
Yeah, because if I have my 8-inch tablet and it goes both directions. So they should be fine. But the other thing that I really like that Apple did that is aside from the phone is from a software base. I am waiting for the day that I can stop carrying a wallet. And I want my credit cards.
It's coming.
I want my driver's license. I want everything on my phone. And everybody's like, oh, security. I'm like, first off, you put a lock on the phone. You lose your phone, you dial in, you brick the phone, and you're done. You know, I got to explain to my wife, and I said, look, you lose your wallet. What's the process? Got to go to the MVA. Got to dig up your passport or your birth certificate and your social security card. Got to call all the credit card companies and cancel your credit cards.
You can set aside a morning for doing this, yeah.
Exactly. You can lose a good 4 or 5 hours with this, depending on what you had. You're checking all your accounts. Did anybody purchase anything? Okay, we're good. You know, I've had my wallet stolen. I've had a little jerk go run up $1,800 within 2 hours. You know what I mean? Now, if it was my phone, you lose your phone. You know, it's locked already. I would say if you do this, you put a lock on it, bar none. But the app most likely will have a lock on it as well. So you got to log in twice. You could kill that phone before anything happens. And guess what? You get a new phone, you blow all your settings back down, and you're back to purchasing stuff with your phone again. I am done with this foolishness. Why can't a police officer grab my phone and look at the image? They can scan it and say, okay, this is a valid. Or even if the information matches up, what's the problem? You know, people fake IDs already. So, you know, to think that you couldn't fake one, that it would be that much more easier on a digital copy. It's silly to me. I'm so done with this. So I'm very excited that Apple did this, because I said on the last show, I'm no longer looking at features that a phone company comes out with and saying, who needs that? Because when I inevitably every single time I've gotten the feature, then I'm like, damn, that's pretty cool. I can see why people would like this. So
it's microwave.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Mm. So now you build a feature, bring it on home to daddy. I want to see.
I was going to say, can I just ask a dumb question because I'm not up to speed on this?
Certainly. Yeah.
Is Apple's, I guess it's some kind of NFC thing going on?
Yeah.
Is it their own standard and is it getting widespread adoption?
Well, it's the traditional NFC, but they locked it down on the phone. Yeah. So you can't pair devices with it. It's only going to work for the payment system, which I think is classically Apple. You know, they can't control everything, so we're gonna mess you up.
Do you not think there's a chance that they did that? And I totally agree that it's classically Apple to some degree, but do you not think there's possibly some kind of market employee in there to kind of say, ah, you see, now we've locked down NFC on the phone because we want to make your payments extra secure?
I hope they don't do that, because
the way it's being handled, and the way it's being handled internally is it's a hardware situation. So there's a separate chip where all that stuff lives. It's like the Touch ID stuff. The Touch ID stuff isn't part of the actual operating system. It's fenced off in its own area in the hardware. And it's the same sort of thing. There's two pieces of compatibility for Apple Pay. First of all, there's will your credit card do it? And right now they have deals with Visa, MasterCard, and Amex, which are the three biggest in the United States. And if you have a debit or credit card from like Bank of America and Capital One and Chase, and I want to say like Wells Fargo, those will all work. And you can use it. You'll be able to use it at Apple stores, obviously, Disney stores, Target, Macy's.
They said like 200,000 retailers, right?
Walgreens. Yeah, like it's
basically anybody with NFC enabled.
But here's, and of course, because it's Macy's, you can also shop at Bloomingdale's. And then I think there's some food places. And of course, they're in with Disney. So like at Disney Parks, you'll be able to use Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And then the thing to me that is really kind of nifty about this is that you can also use Apple Pay within an app.
Yeah.
And the thing that was fascinating to me about this was when Tim Cook got up on stage and was describing this and talked about, he didn't go super in depth, but he talked a little bit about how the information was handled and basically came out and said, here's all the stuff involved in a transaction. And Apple doesn't know any of these things. Apple doesn't know your name. Apple doesn't know your credit card number. Apple doesn't know if it's a Visa. Apple doesn't know what bank it's issued on. We don't know anything about anything when it comes to letting you buy your stuff. And the reason this is interesting to me is because we spent all these years in the run-up, you know, while we waited for our flying cars, listening to, you know, how great it is that companies are going to learn more about you. It's going to be so much easier when Macy's knows what my purchase habits are. And it's going to be so much better for me when someone else has all of this data about me, like life is going to be better. And now we're swinging back the other way because companies are going on stage and talking proudly about all the stuff about you that they don't know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really, really interesting. So
sort of my only concern there is with them giving away control to another company who, if they say, nope, we're not going to play anymore and turn it off, everybody's screwed.
Right. And that's true. But that's a problem with any sort of payment system. Like Bank of America one day could say, we're mad at Visa and your credit card doesn't work anymore. I could have the same problem with the piece of plastic in my wallet now. What I'm excited about with this is that it's actually going to be, after a fashion, it's going to be more compatible right now. So there is no Apple Pay yet. It's coming. They said it's coming in October, I think. But right now, it will only be available on the 6 and the 6 Plus and the Apple Watch. But if you have an Apple Watch, which is paired with a 5 or a 5C or a 5S or the 6s, you can use the watch to pay for things in stores. So just because you don't have a 6 doesn't mean you're automatically bounced out of Apple Pay forever, which I thought was a really smart move on Apple's part.
Yeah, so I'm happy about this. So the UK, I don't think we have. I might be wrong about this, but I don't see the NFC tills quite as regularly as it seems like you guys have in the States. And I know there's sort of the added bonus of you guys getting chip and pins, so a lot of cash registers are going to have to get updated. So they might as well just update with NFC at the same time. So I'm kind of happy about this because there is a chance that this might actually put this technology forward. And they might push it on a bit, and they might actually see some card readers and things like that getting picked up in the UK. But as far as I'm aware at the moment, and this is completely anecdotally and only what I've seen, is the only two places in the UK that I've ever seen NFC payments available is in Greggs and McDonald's.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Oh, and I think Waitrose does it now as well.
Does it? Okay, well, I suppose Waitrose is slightly more upper class than Greggs. Greggs, if you guys haven't seen Greggs is basically a baker's. It sells sausage rolls and donuts and I don't know, pizza slices and stuff like that. And that's the only two places I've ever seen it. So I'm quite keen for this to come along, for this to actually change things. And I agree that I want my cards to go away. I want my wallet to go away, actually, to the point that I have a case on my old phone and I'm waiting for them to come out for the 6 Plus. It was one of those spec cases that you could put your credit cards in the back of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I don't have to carry a wallet anymore, which is...
I'm still worried that if I've got an Android or a Windows phone, I won't be able to use it.
No, I don't know what to do.
I won't be able to use the Apple Pay system, which looks like a more secure way of doing it. I mean, because people do have their concerns about NFC, the fact you can steal people's wallets without having to open them.
Well, that's more if you're going to do a payment system that's more like Bluetooth LE, because with NFC, the whole point of NFC, I mean, it stands for near field contact. And I don't know how near the near field contact is in the payment systems that exist for Android, but Apple has locked it down to something measured in centimeters. Like, I don't know that it's more than a couple of inches. Mm-hmm. So to be a man in the middle attack, when what you're talking about is, I want to say it's like 4 or 5 centimeters. Like, to me, that seems pretty unlikely.
I guess it's not so much the distance. It's the bespoke technology that Apple is saying they are going to try. Well, I mean, since they've got the leap now, haven't they? They have this ability potentially to get Apple Pay terminals at every major retailer
terminals are Apple Pay. NFC.
Yeah, right. It's an NFC terminal.
Yeah, I don't think the whole thing is locked down to Apple.
The secret sauce is my end. It's not the store end.
Okay, yeah. I was just checking to make sure that I wasn't being disadvantaged, because I don't want to. I don't want to buy an iPhone. Okay, I don't want to buy an iPhone.
Yeah. We won't judge you while we're recording.
I think that the back end system, hopefully they made it extensible enough, and this is what you would expect, that they can then invite other phone manufacturers to do the same thing. Because why wouldn't Android want to be on the same boat? Being able to do those type of payments. And in fact, it was a story that dropped today on WP Central where it seems that Microsoft has picked up a mobile payment guy out of Amazon. I would expect this to. I'm glad when Apple does something, it tends to become more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I'm happy when they do it, rightfully or wrongfully. So, you know what I mean?
But I mean, all they have to do is point to the press release they dropped this morning about how they sold over 10 million iPhones the first weekend the 6 and the 6 Plus were available. All you got to do when you go in to negotiate with somebody is just point at that and then wait.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Google's also got Google Checkout as well. So, I mean, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. They already have this kind of technology. It's just not really taking off that much. And, of course, Amazon's going to be able to jump in this boat too. I guess it's just a matter of time before Microsoft buys PayPal and then everybody's happy.
Wow. Oh, Lord.
That's not going to happen.
They can't. eBay owns PayPal.
Yeah, I know. But
hasn't Microsoft got shares in eBay or something?
I can't remember. Yeah, but PayPal's the only side of that company that actually makes any money.
You know what? Let's talk about PayPal for a second. They piss me off.
All right.
I love
PayPal. Do you know how many horror stories I've heard about PayPal?
I haven't had any issues. And I've sent money to friends. We do it for our food. We actually just started this year using it for our fantasy football league payments. I used to have to drive around and pick up money from everybody. This, what Apple's doing, PayPal should have already been doing. I hate when there's an opportunity there and a company just lets it go.
They're
the default de facto transfer money between people. Why on earth are they not doing this already, where I can take, because they're in Home Depot. I can go to Home Depot and put my credentials in, and I can buy stuff with, at least here in the States, I can buy stuff from PayPal with my PayPal credentials. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got debit card for PayPal.
I think the only answer to that is because they're not a technology company.
Well, I've got a debit card, a PayPal debit card.
They're a bank. PayPal is a bank, not a technology company.
Yep.
But still, I mean, whether you're a bank or whatever you are, you have an opportunity to drive business, and you're not going to create new sources of revenue by doing the same old thing. You know what I mean? And so when they stay stagnant, look at BlackBerry. Who wants to do email on the phone that looks like womp, womp, womp? You know what I mean? They stayed stagnant. So to me, you know, look how they what's the card reader company that came out that you can do credit card payments on your phone now?
Square
came out. PayPal is behind them on that. You know what I mean? Why are they not thinking of that? Why are they not innovating? So they came out with this big announcement, 2 years ago, that some nifty features are going to allow you to do where you can charge something to your PayPal, but then you can change the way let's say you have your bank account set up and you're like, you know what? I'd rather just come off my credit card. You can change it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So they announced some cool stuff they were doing. But man, they should be at every retailer already with this type of stuff. It really bugs me with this nonsense.
Everybody's got a PayPal account. Everybody.
Why are you not the de facto? Why is Apple going to have to pull you through? You know what I mean? This would have been huge for them. You know, just like when Amazon. I look at Amazon and I got friends that work at Amazon. And I'm like, why are you guys not on every single platform with every single service? That's the biggest thing for people when it comes to switching phones, mm-hmm. is figuring out, how do I get all my music off of this one onto this one? How do I get all my movies and all? Amazon should not be wasting time with the phone. They should be getting their applications on every single platform, fully supported, fully working. So, if they had did that already, then I would have not have started investing in movies with Microsoft. I would have went with Amazon. I would have just said, because I can use any device I want and watch my stuff.
And let me just point out that there are companies who are not technology companies who have figured this out. Because I'll tell you what, regardless of your opinion of their coffee, Starbucks has made it the easiest thing on earth for me to give them money. The easiest, hands absolutely. Down. You're no showing
them your screen, don't you? Or something? They scan your screen on your phone?
Yeah, it's a barcode.
Yeah, you get an app, but also within the app, within the iOS app, within the Android app, I think there's even a Windows Phone app for Starbucks. All you have to do is go into it and go, I want to add more money to my card. And you can do it there. It's a piece of cake. If somebody gives me a Starbucks card, they've made it a snap for me to transfer that balance to the one that I carry with me.
Can you say, you're in your office or whatever, or in your basement, and you say, I fancy a Starbucks. I'm going to order one so that when you get to the store, they've got it ready for you.
That I don't think they can do yet.
They should do that.
I don't think they could do that.
But get it delivered by drone.
But I'll tell you what, they are not, I mean, aside from the fact that there's Wi-Fi in the coffee shops.
With your name written on it properly.
That would be nice. They are not a technology company, and they figured out that they need some technology. And the moment as dumb as it sounds, the moment it felt to me like I was living in the future was the day I really needed coffee, and I got myself presentable enough looking to at least make it through the drive-thru, rolled up to the drive-thru, and realized I had forgotten my purse, but not my phone. So I didn't have my wallet, but I had my Starbucks app. And I was able to leave my house without my wallet and still come home with coffee.
And you said, I've come here from the future.
And that's really, that was the moment of like, I left my wallet at home and yet I'm still home with caffeine. And that moment was very pleasing.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for that to be more universal. So
that's absolutely. And that's where Square got in with people was by recognizing, you know, not a lot of people carry cash anymore. Right. And so we're going to give everybody a swiper. And then when all of us go out to dinner, it's a piece of cake for me to pay you. And I can use my Visa to do it instead of having to make sure that I had a 20 on me before we all sat down to eat.
How many times have you spent more money because you swiped a card as opposed to pulling out the cash that's in your pocket?
Absolutely.
And nobody said swiper, no swiping.
I was let that one go.
But sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, you're good.
Afraid.
You're good. I was thinking it. But PayPal, they piss me off with this stuff. Amazon, they piss me off with this stuff. This should already be out there. Apple should just be like, here's our version of it. Not here it is. Now let's drag everybody else into it.
Now,
annoying. Really annoying.
PayPal. Now, PayPal hasn't pushed this very well, so it's possible that you don't know about it, but PayPal app, certainly on the iPhone, has very similar functionality to the Starbucks app. Starbucks app, you bring up a QR code and they scan that QR code and it takes money off your account. If you go into the PayPal app and you choose the retailer, so that's where it kind of breaks down a little bit. If you choose a retailer that's obviously you're standing in or something like that, it generates a unique barcode that can be scanned and takes money off your PayPal account. Now, I know that's not the same. I appreciate what you're saying there, Chris. But
yeah, that's step one. Yeah. That was step one.
I was going to say, two. I thought also you can transfer money to other people using that or something.
I don't know if you can do it with the barcode. I've never tried.
I know you can use the PayPal app just to sort of send people money, which I think is brilliant. If you owe someone a 20 quid, you can give them the money. You have to give them the money. That's the big problem there. No, I still owe it to you, man. I'll give it to you next week.
Right.
There's
right.
no excuse. You got
There's
your
no
phone there.
Anymore. We transfer. Like I said, I had a buddy. I have people that live all over for fantasy football. I'm just like, here you go. Transfer the money, PayPal. Good. We're done. Let's get the season started. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, Paul, that was the first step. Step two should have been what Apple announced. Take your phone to any retailer, tap your phone, and the payment's done. You know, maybe they had more pushback because they actually have their own banking type of stuff, too. And maybe but they should have been right.
I was going to say, they've already got the relationship with MasterCard and Amex and Visa. Really they must have done.
They really do. So what's the problem? Why is no one thinking forward? What was the holdup? I mean, maybe they did try it and they just failed at it. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm not on the inside. So they messed up. That's where I'm coming from.
They're desperately trying to put eBay on life support. And that's what they're spending all their efforts on. This podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are brought to you by the fantastic people at UK2. If you want any kind of web services whatsoever, if you want a domain name, a VPN, anything like that, these are your people to go to. If you head on over to britishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, you can see a whole bunch of voucher codes there. British Tech DNS gives you free DNS for 2 years. British Tech Domains gives you 20% off domain registration. 20%, that's a lot in comparison to some of the other deals that you'll see out there. You see 10%, you see 5%, but 20% is a lot of money for domain names, especially if you want to go and buy yourself thepocketshow.rocks. Not that I'm suggesting anybody buys that. Yes, please, send us that. I recently bought paulwheatley.rocks as well. I fully intend to change my email address to did you know the, and then the at sign, so it'd be did you know that.
Oh, Lord.
paulwheatley.rocks. Anyway, and I bought that from UK2, and I got 20% off that one as well. It's Hurrah. Absolutely awesome. And it's £10 for a .rocks domain name at the moment, so that means you can get it for 8 of your Queen's pounds, which I'm very glad that the Scots are still able to use. If you want to get anything like VPN or any types of services, VPS services or anything like that, please use the click through on the British Tech Network website. You can click through to UK2. Please use the click through so that they know that we sent you there. Absolutely superb. I personally am a customer and I cannot recommend enough. The other people that I want to suggest that you go and have a chat to are the guys at Network Union. If you work with a large IT company, and they can help you with BT, MPLS, WAN, SIP, and Ethernet connectivity. Whether you're new to BT or an existing BT client, you can choose to engage BT via Network Union. Existing clients, absolutely nothing changes. Same contracts and same support, but you can change your account management to the Network Union, re-sign your contract with a different area of BT. If you're an SME with business broadband, they can check for fibre upgrades, call packages, even BT Office 365 and Everything Everywhere Mobile. Bundle together for savings or happy to deal with new inquiries. And finally, if you're a US listener, this is normally the point that you switch off because all these deals are not available in the US. Well, that's where you're wrong. A Network Union or agencies for Magistrate HQ'd in Dallas. Magistrate have a fantastic global MPLS WAN network. Any IT managers out there in the US using MPLS should also hit up the Network Union using the sponsors page, britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, because they could put you in touch with some fantastic resources. And I should say as well, all the deals that are available for UK2 are available in the US and anywhere else around the world for that matter. The only thing is you will have to do the mental arithmetic to transfer the Queen's pound into your local currency of choice, which frankly is what we have to do every day when we're transferring purchases from the States. So suck it. Just enjoy that transfer over. Grand. Okay. People, do you have any picks for us tonight? I'm going to start first with James, sir. Do you have a pick for us this evening?
Can I just divert you very briefly? I wanted to cover this when we were talking about extra large phones, and seeing as three of us on the panel here have very large phones, and it may actually be the same with Kelly, but so you can type one-handed, do you use the little finger perch?
The little finger perch, what's that?
Little finger perch. Well, you perch your phone on your little finger so your thumb can reach the other side of the screen to be able to type.
Oh, yeah, I totally do that. Mm-hmm. I have to.
which means there's no excuse you don't have to on the little phone. You're screwed if you want a bigger one then. I can just about reach. Wow. All right, I suppose. Because we were going through, we were talking about the iPhone 6 Plus at work. And my colleague used to say, to me, he said, well, I wanted one, but I wouldn't be able to reach the other side of the screen to type. And I said, well, how do you hold your phone? And he has his fingers around the phone, all the way around. So he's like, his fingertips, you can see them around the phone. I said, well, you'll never be able to reach the other side of the screen unless you do the little finger perch. What about you, Chris? Do you do the little finger perch?
With my 6-inch phone, I can put my pinky finger under the phone. Yep, and then I can reach the top left corner with one hand. So I have gigantic
the top
hands.
Left corner. Lord in heaven.
Yeah,
because I've got 15-20 as well, and I can just about make it halfway up. You have got big hands, sir.
Chris is a big laddie.
I can reach the top left tile.
I have to do that to reach the opposite corner. I use my phone left-handed. I have to do that to reach the top corner of my 5S.
I'm going to drop my phone in a minute trying to do that.
I got mega hands.
Cool. And I have wee Japanese schoolgirl hands, so there you go.
We're going to have to get a hand comparison. When you get you two together, that's what we're going to have to do.
You got it.
Right, anyway, my pick is not nothing to do with the length of your hands, really. It's a game. I loved a game called You Don't Know Jack, which is an irreverent quiz game, which is now available on a number of platforms. Facebook sort of started hosting it, and now you can get it off your Android device. And it is great fun, and I do like to play it. However, they've also come up with a word game, and I love word games. And I've played words with friends, with friends and family and all sorts of people. But there's one you can play on your own called Word Putz, WordPuttz, made by the same people who made You Don't Know Jack. And so it's got the silly little animations and little witticisms, but it's a great game because you're basically you make words like Scrabble letters to get the ball into the hole, and it starts off really easy, and it gets so difficult because you've got to think of a word which is long enough to be able to get the ball in a few number of moves, and it's good fun. So Word Putz is free. It's one of these ones which if you want to. You get a certain amount of time where you can play. You get a certain number of goes, and the number of goes recharges over time. So if you're absolutely addicted to it, you can spend money and get free goes. But if you're doing, I believe it's called the morning movement, according to Ewan. it's great for. I sit playing it during breakfast, so I'll have my porridge on one side of the table and have this game. It saves me having to talk to the family. I can play little word games.
Nice.
So yeah, Word Putz. Cool. Yeah. And it's available for Android and iPhone. Unfortunately, it's not available for Windows Phone yet. I always say yet when it's Windows Phone.
You've got to leave hope.
Yeah. And it's free, but within app purchases, of course. But
correct.
It's free.
Yep.
Very cool. Kelly, what do you have for us this evening?
Okay, so I'm looking right now because I want to determine if this is possible or not. And right now, I don't know. I believe that there's an Android version. It's called Evil Apples. And so people may be familiar with Apples to Apples, which is a card game, and it's a lot of fun. There is a card game that uses a similar style where there's like a judge and then everybody lays down their suggestion to go with the other card called Cards Against Humanity. And if you don't know about Cards Against Humanity, there may be a reason for it. You could be horrified by the entire thing. But if you're not, somebody has made an approximation of the iTunes, of the iOS version of Cards Against Humanity. And I really enjoy it, probably far more than I should. If you have the safe search enabled on your computer, you will find no information about Cards Against Humanity.
No.
Let me just put it that way.
It's not a party game you play at Christmas, is it?
Oh, apparently
it depends on who your guests are.
So I believe Ewan actually did play it with his in-laws last Christmas.
How did that go?
I think it went okay, actually, from what he tells me. And maybe it wasn't at Christmas time, actually, because you'll just learn about it in March. But he said, I'm sure he's played with that at a family gathering or something.
Right.
So I know that you can get this on iOS.
Yeah.
I've heard mumblings about an Android version. I don't know.
What's it called? Evil Apples.
Evil Apples. I don't know if that's true. I enjoy it far more than I should. I think it's free. And because I don't remember what it was when I bought it. I just went, oh, hey, I totally need this. It's a game with in-app where, so it is free. There's some in-app purchasing that you can do if you want to. There's like a pass that you can buy, and you can buy additional decks. Like if you want to play with a wider variety of cards than the default ones that everybody gets, you want a little bit of an advantage, you can buy extra decks or additional cards as well. And it's a lot of fun if you are a person who enjoys this sort of thing. I know right from the get-go that this is not a game for everybody, but they do have some of the tamer stuff in the screenshots. So you can look at the screenshots and see if it's something that would be for you. Keep in mind that they get so much worse than the ones that are on there right now. And the reason that it's fun is because you can play with people that you know. So like the four of us could play a game and it would be fun, and it would be a different game than what you would play if you were playing with a different group of your friends or whatever. And it's asynchronous, so it just sort of waits for everyone to make the turn. And then once everybody has played, it alerts the judge, whoever's judging that turn, that it's their turn to judge. They have to judge the cards, and then everybody's in for the next round or whatever. And it's a lot of fun, and for free, it's totally a good time.
Mm. Yeah, it's an awesome game. And you can also get kind of everybody together, and it's and there's a kind of a chat facility as well.
Yeah,
sadly not available for Android.
Yeah,
it's by Evil Studios Limited. I'm still trying to find out when and if they're going to do it. I shall keep looking.
It is a very good game, and if you fancy the kind of the analog version of that, you can buy the card game on Amazon and things like that. And there's a British version as well, because
is there really?
Yeah, I have the British version. I plan to bring it over to Macworld next year.
Please do.
Yeah, so it's basically there's a lot of Americanisms in the American version, as you would imagine. There's kind of American politicians and American candy and things like that that's referenced, which kind of caused me and you a bit of a problem when we were playing it over there, because we had absolutely no idea what some of the stuff was.
Oh my gosh.
It could be a candy, it could be a pair of shoes, it could be a bird native to Arizona. We don't know. absolutely no. anyway, Chris, what do you have for us this evening?
I got a great pick, and I was kind enough to do the extra research to find it on the UK version. That's for you, my friend. But as I mentioned early on the show, that I did switch over to start using TiVo. And one of the cool things about this is that the TiVo device can actually act as a media server. So it gets all the TV, records all the shows, and then from my bedroom and any other TV I want, I get a second device called the TiVo Mini, which then just pulls the streams of content over my network and from the main TV to my remote TVs. Problem is, I didn't have a network connection in my bedroom. So I went out and grabbed a Netgear Powerline 200 device. And essentially what this does is allow you to make network connections through your existing Powerline power wires throughout the house. And real easy to set up. You just plug one in, you hit the setup button, you plug the other one in, hit the setup button within 2 minutes, and they find each other, and then they can start communicating securely. They kind of create a password between the two. Then you can just take that device, put it in another part of your house where you need it, plug in a standard network jack and from into the device and plug it into your in this case I plugged it into my TiVo Mini, and now I have internet connection through cable through the power line. So this device was only $60 here in the States, even though they mispriced it and I got a discount. But I think it was £29 for you guys.
Yeah, 24
out there. So wherever you, if you need a network connection, and the reason why this was required because the Mini doesn't have wireless setup in it. So if you need a network connection somewhere in your house that you don't have a jack, maybe the Wi-Fi signal sucks there, you definitely want to check out the Netgear Powerline 200.
Yeah,
and Netgear also makes other versions. So if you need the networking behind a computer and you only have those two plugs, you can get one that has a pass-through outlet on it.
Yep, and they also make a 500.
Yeah, we have these at my house as well.
I've just seen one of the 200s for £15. That's an amazing price. And the thing is, it's come of age over the last few years. I mean, they used to be crap, but now they are brilliant.
It's really easy to use.
I've had issues. I like them for like just general PC use or like for what you're using it for, Chris, for transferring between TV TiVos. Yeah. But I've had some issues trying to play like Xbox Live through them, trying to play games. You get some slow and things like that.
you know, Xbox is, it's not even Xbox. It's really the games. They're not very tolerant of drop packets.
No, no.
Yeah.
So, like I have my buddy who lives over in Amsterdam, and he, during the week, he stays in corporate housing in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I was gaming with him last weekend, and he was complaining that when he started playing Destiny, that he would get kicked all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas Titanfall, even over, yeah, I guess they have like 4G connections out there for internet, and where he's staying in Germany, and he would have no problem playing Titanfall, but he couldn't sustain a connection in Destiny. And I had the same problem with Destiny, and I get 174 down at my house. I have to turn off my firewall on my router for me to play Destiny without being connected. So it's, you know, I think it's more in the game itself than Xbox, but I feel you though. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're great. I use them for other things. I just, I don't use them for anything that's going to be passing through any gaming.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But so handy when you need something like that. Like, and the fact that they suck a lot less and it's something you can just go recommend to somebody and you don't have to go like, well, how technical of a person are you? And
right.
Cause we tried using these some years ago and the configuration was horrible. It was really hard to do. The documentation was crap. And now these that we got when we moved into our new house, you know, like you said, you plug them in, you hit a button, you wait a second, and then it works itself out and you're golden. It's really nice.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. My pick is the iFixit 54-bit driver kit. I only just got this the other day. We've been building, we've got a new show on the network. We just got a couple episodes up where myself, Ewan and Paul Shadwell are building a drone from scratch, a quadcopter drone, and buying all the bits. It's not a kit or anything like that, and buying all the bits and putting it together. And then we're attaching a camera to it and all sorts of other cool stuff. Anyway, you check out the drone show. But during doing that, I discovered that I had a lacking in my toolkit, and that was a screwdriver kit that allowed me to have like kind of tiny little screwdrivers and tiny little Allen keys. I had screwdrivers and Allen keys, but they weren't attached in any way that I could use, like my little hand powered electric screwdriver or anything like that. So I purchased this kit, and it is superb. And I have to admit, I found half a dozen different uses for it in the week I've had this kit. Basically, what it is it's 54 little heads for a screwdriver. So you've got everything from Allen keys, Torx. You've got kind of I don't know what you call those ones at the top there. Bolts for putting in tiny little bolts and things like that. Everything you could possibly ever want.
Socket set.
That's what I was looking for. Sockets. Mm-hmm. Flat-headed screwdrivers. Absolutely everything you could ever imagine. It's got the little funny little triangle ones that are normally used on like Nintendo devices. You also get like an extender as well. And there's a little magnet thing in there for picking up screwdrivers. And there's an adapter. So if your electric screwdriver actually needing one that's slightly bigger or slightly smaller, it's got all the adapters and things like that in there. Absolutely superb. And it was only £19.72, and it's on Prime as well.
That's fantastic. I'm surprised you. I mean, I've got loads of the individual ones. Yeah. Bloody hell, I get everywhere. I'm surprised you didn't have more because you've got kids, and surely they bring you with toys and go, "Could you fix this, please, Daddy?" And you go, "Well, I haven't got a screw," and you end up sort of jamming a penknife in there until the screw comes out.
Exactly. So, I mean, I've got probably most of the screwdrivers that come in this kit. I've got littered about my house in a variety of different forms. Mm. But normally they have really crappy heads on them. Sorry, handles.
Oh, they grunch. Yeah.
And so you end up stripping the screwdriver before you actually managed to get a good tighten them. So with this thing here, it's actually got one that's kind of screwdriver bit that you put a kind of a crossbar in, so it gives you a little bit more purchase when you're turning the screwdriver as well. And also, as I said, that you can fit these in an electric screwdriver as well. So absolutely superb. I'm really, really chuffed with them.
And I adore the iFixit toolkit. Right. I have a smaller set. It's like the 26, somewhere in there. That I picked up some years ago, and it's one of the best things that I ever got anywhere ever from anything in this universe or any other. Because the really nice thing about it is that I feel a lot less intimidated when I'm about to do something because I probably have the tool for it.
Yes, exactly.
And that goes a long way toward feeling like you can get something accomplished. We were talking earlier before the show about TiVo, and I had mentioned that I dropped a new hard drive in my TiVo, and I also dropped a new power supply in my TiVo. And the reason I was able to do that as easily as I could is because I have this screwdriver set from iFixit, and I pulled it out, and they said, you know, you need a Torx T10 and a Torx T15, and both of those are in my screwdriver kit. I'm like, awesome, let's rock. And that was it. it was so great. And it's a nice smaller size screwdriver, so you can get it into a lot more places than you could a screwdriver with a bigger sort of standard handle. They're super, super great. And the, and mine also has the really long tweezers in it, which has also been infinitely useful. I can't say enough nice things about iFixit, their stuff and their information, because they also have teardown guides for everything. So if you have a computer and you want to put a new drive in it, or maybe it needs some more RAM, and you feel like this is something you should be capable of doing, then you can go find out. If you go to iFixit.com, you can look at their guide for your computer and find out if you can pull everything open in a reasonable fashion and get it done, or if it's worth it to you to make that someone else's problem. It's really nice.
I've just seen that I think I know what I want for Christmas from Beth. They do a 54-bit driver kit, including like four different spudges. So there's all plastic things you can use to get cases off stuff. And the number of times I've absolutely knackered the plastic by either using one that I got off eBay years ago, which has already been, I'm going to have to get one.
Yep.
You're going to make me spend money, Mr. Wheatley.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Amazon Gamont. You too.
It is so worth it. And I honestly can't say. It's like the week for this now, when we were recording the after show earlier, I said the same thing. I was like, I really love my screwdriver set from iFixit, and here's why. And I really do like all of their stuff. Like, anybody I know who has anything from iFixit, they absolutely love it. They have a magnetic screw sort of tray that you can lay down and set your screws on, and you don't lose them. They have all kinds of great stuff there, and I can't say enough nice things about them.
Yep. Pretty awesome. I love it. Just before we move on to kind of closing up the show, just a little bit of breaking news that's just coming around Apple. Apparently, Apple will discontinue the music streaming service Beats Music it acquired in May, according to 5 sources, including several prominent employees at Apple and Beats. Many engineers from Beats Music have already been moved off the product and on other projects at Apple, including iTunes. That's interesting.
Wow. Wow.
Very interesting. So we'll see, because there was kind of some rumors that they might actually have Beats Music integrated into the iWatch, the Apple Watch. How many times am I going to do that?
I thought they were going to merge it into iTunes Radio, that it was all going to become one service.
Because it was only ever available in the US, wasn't it?
Yeah, it never came to... And Beats Music, yeah, it was only ever available in the US. No, actually, sorry, I lied. Beats Music was available in the UK, you just couldn't get the family pack in the UK. Because you could get a special kind of four-person family pack in the US. I think it was some deal with AT&T or something like that. It was iTunes Radio that's not available in the UK.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing, though, is that on the Recode story about this, because I just looked... The Recode story says there's an update. Apple has told Recode that the Beats brand may go away.
Mm. Whoa.
So maybe I'm right and the Beats brand is going away, but iTunes Radio is going to get a lot better. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, that's my two bits on it. I just happened to look that up because I just saw that I just saw that link go by and went, well, Recode's pretty legit, so let's see. Initially it was that Apple's PR rep said the TechCrunch story wasn't true about Beats going away. So
interesting. Well, anyway, I'm just going to continue on and close up the show. I thought that was interesting to mention. A couple of little things I just want to mention before we close up the show here. The Daily Show is coming back. Just been announced officially today that the Daily News Show on the British Tech Network is coming back by our own Kyle Swagger. He will be doing a four or five minute show every day. Covering the top headlines of the day. So look forward to that. I don't actually know when he's officially starting it again, but it will be soon. There's a lot of changes actually going on at British Tech Network just now. We're doing a whole rebrand as well at the moment, and a new website in the pipeline and stuff. It's all very exciting. And we've got new blogs and things like that. Charlotte Henry's writing some blog posts for us. It's all very exciting stuff. The other thing mentioned is the Northern Bash, or the Gamer Show Bash. If you want to come along and spend a winter's afternoon and evening with the Gamer Show and Ewan and a variety of other people. You unfortunately have to make your way up to Scotland, unless you live north of Scotland, in which case come down from the north of Scotland to the south of Scotland. And you could join us, and we have hired a hall. We are going to have big projectors with a Wii U playing Mario Kart U. We're going to have a bit of Destiny, a bit of Halo, possibly a bit of Titanfall and things like that going on big projectors. Just some booze. We're going to bring along some old retro consoles like a SNES and a Mega Drive and things like that. And it'll just be a gaming afternoon, bit of a chat. We'll probably do a couple of live shows and things like that. But that's the Northern Bash on the 6th of December in a small village called Tweedbank, which is about 30 miles south of Edinburgh in Scotland. So if you want to come along to that, I think it's just, we're just going to call £5 a ticket. And then we're probably going to just order in a takeaway at some point in the evening and just split the bill. So that should be quite good fun. 6th of December, mark it in your calendars. And finally, I just want to thank everybody who's been giving us to Patreon so far. Made a huge difference to the studio. We now have a Northern studio, which we are broadcasting from right now. As time goes by, we'll be buying more kit and things like that so that we can start to do video shows more regularly from here. And the Pocket Show will go officially video. And I will spend some of that money trying to find a cable that fixes the audio problem that we had earlier on this evening.
I'm going to have to find some clothes.
Yeah. If you, I just wear a mankini when I do most of my shows, so don't worry. I'll send you one of my old ones of them.
Not helping.
And so if you want
10 after 2, I need a drink.
If you want to give to our Patreon fund, please head on over to patreon.com and search for British Tech Network and give whatever you can there. If you can't give anything, that's also cool. We love to just have you here in spirit alone. If you bring us some spirits, that's also good. I would just like to thank my panel this evening. You've been awesome. We've been well over time that I originally asked for you for, so thank you very much for sparing the time earlier on when we had the technical problems. So first of all, Mr. James Hart, where can people find you?
I play around on Twitter a bit, SYZYGY, and sometimes I do a show on Mint FM, mintfm.net. It's called The Weekendry. That's on Thursday evenings at 9 PM UK time, 4 PM US Eastern, and it is just a bit of 2 hours of silliness, really. If you like what I say on here, well, it's less technical and more musical, but it's still the same old bollocks.
it's a good listen, so I would recommend anybody heads on over and checks that one out. Kelly, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and on app.net as Verso, and you can also find me over at the Mac Observer, occasionally on the TMO Daily podcast there. And you can also hear Mike Rose and myself on The After Show, the new show that the two of us have spun up in the wake of the Tuwa Talk cast having disappeared. So you can check out the two hosts of that show anyway, kind of hosting their own thing all the time.
Cool. And I'm a regular listener of Daily Observations. And can you please explain to Jeff how he switches off Skype notifications? That would be awesome.
I will tell him. I will let him know.
And finally, Mr. Chris Ashley, where can people find you, sir?
You can always find me on every Tuesday night recording, published Wednesday, maybe Thursday, on the SMR podcast, the funniest tech podcast you'll ever listen to. Why? Because we could talk about toenails or we could talk about phones. It doesn't matter. We get into it all. So you can also catch me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley on Twitter.
And you guys are, of course, doing it live, isn't it? Well, aren't you?
Yeah, we're streaming live now, just like we're supposed to do today. The audio, and then hopefully soon enough we'll get the video. You can see our ugly mugs.
Cool. Good job, Grant. Thanks very much, folks. You can find me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech on Twitter. And if you want to send any comments or anything like that, slightly more longer form, you can email us, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. We will be back in, I think we're going to do another show next week, just because of the way everything's kind of laying out. We're covering the European Gamer Expo this Friday, so there'll not be a gamer show next Monday, so I might do another pocket show next Monday. And we'll maybe cover a little bit more about the Apple Watch and things like that, which will be awesome. So we will see you hopefully next week, if not in 2 weeks' time. And that's about it. Good night. Thanks very much, everybody. And we will see you next week. Good night.